matter what people say. Yeah. We got it going on. Yeah. Who cares about what they did?
You know me. I'm the hottest in the scene.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community. All from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So happy Sunday. And I have my sometimes co-host, Paul Bromley, here today. It's been a while. We're back on this, like, every month and a half, 2 month business, Paul. I don't like it.
Listen, it's been a rough 2 months. It's been a rough, well, however, I've lost track of time.
I've lost track of time too.
Yeah, I feel like we're finally, we're finally back in the in reality now. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll start keeping track of time. But yeah, hey, good morning, everybody. I'm glad to be back.
So for those of you who are new to the According to RP platform, Paul Bromley is a former coworker of mine, colleague of mine, but current friend.
Absolutely.
Current friend. And once a month or once a month-ish, he joined me for the RP and PB special. And we just kind of talk about whatever it is that's going on during that time period in a very sophisticated, ratchet way. Sophisteratch. Clatchet. Manner.
Clatchet.
In a clatchet manner. So if you like today's show and you're like, who is this Paul Bromley guy? You know, you definitely go back into our archives and tune into some of our past RP and PV specials.
Yes. We cussed a lot and drank. We were drinking a lot.
We did drink. Great. Yes, we did do that. We did do that.
Oh man.
We're trying to be better now. So today we decided.
This is a sober show.
It's a sober show. Sober show because we're talking about serious things today, right?
Yeah. I have my serious voice on.
Yes.
I'm ready to take on the world.
Very much so. So on today's show, we're going to talk about, obviously, the election. I mean, yesterday we got the news that many of us did not expect to get. So we're going to talk about the election and a lot of the election-related drama that was going on, right? Anywhere from, I guess, we might maybe talk about the Lil Wayne Ice Cube fiasco, but just some of the drama that was kind of leading up to the election and then the anxiety of the election. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like I couldn't get anything done.
Yeah, last week was completely a waste for me. So I agree.
Yeah, you know. And so, yeah, we're going to get into some of the different topics and discussion surrounding the election. But before we get into the meat of the show, we have to go through our preliminaries. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm on fleek, Jalit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary phrase of the week is I voted sticker. So I voted sticker, something an egotistical person wears to show they did something, in quotations, great. Example, voter wears an I voted sticker. Voter says inside his own head, yeah, I'm the best person in the world because I voted.
That's so like, that's so, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it pessimistic or I don't know. Like I see people out here with the I voted stickers, you know, and it doesn't really bother me. What do you think?
It doesn't bother me. I mean, are there people who wear it because they want everybody to know that they are civically engaged to be like, hey guys, look at me. I voted. Of course. Narcissism is everywhere.
That's what social media is all about.
Yeah, but I think for the most part, people get their sticker, they put it on just for the moment because one, they're handing you the sticker and saying, hey, here's your sticker.
Put it on.
Yeah. And two, it's election day. And yeah, you want to feel proud that you voted, that you exercised your right as a citizen of this country to vote. So, I mean,
especially in this particular election too, like anything that you can do to get people to the polls, I was with. Did you see those that commercial, the Atlanta commercial, get your booty to the polls?
Yes.
With the anxiety dancers.
Yes, I saw that. I was
not conventional, but I guarantee you, it got some people's attention, and it definitely got some booties to the polls, especially down in Atlanta. So listen, whatever we had to do to get people to the polls with this year, I'm with. Even the stickers, the booty, whatever you had to do, I'm completely okay with it.
Yeah, I'm like, when I saw it, I'm like, I totally get where this individual is coming from, because there are people, they do a whole photo shoot with their sticker, right? But if that's what they feel, you know, let them. I mean, I don't see how it's harming anyone. I don't see how it really makes them egotistical, the fact that they're wearing a sticker that, you know, shows their pride for voting. Because I think, like what you said, like whatever you could do to you could have done to inspire another to get out to the vote, especially with the early voting. I think that, you know, wearing the sticker, showing, because that was even a reminder to some people, like, oh, crap. Like, I didn't.
I got to vote today.
I got to go.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this one was submitted by somebody called the Happy Caucasian. I think that says enough.
And that sounds exactly like something a Happy Caucasian would say.
It says enough.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave that one at that.
Yeah.
So it's now time for our big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. What? So this week's big up of the week, I think, is twofold, but it comes from the same state. I'm bigging up the black people in the battleground states, period, right? So what was it? Michigan?
So cold in the D.
Yes.
Detroit showed up in Michigan. Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Yep. Georgia showed up.
Georgia is still showing up.
Georgia Atlanta, is still showing up. They're still counting.
The black people in Atlanta, the black people in the outlying counties, Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all showed up. Yeah. Albany, y'all showed up.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because you're talking about Detroit, you know, I saw several posts talking about how the blackest city in America.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Came out and did what they had to do.
And let's not forget Philly.
Yes. Philly as well. Philly as well.
Yeah.
Came out. Now, did Flint, Michigan come out? I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't remember. I remember wanting to look to see, but I was I was happy that they did, because again, you know, we're talking about Flint, Michigan, that is still, I think, trying to figure out their water supply.
The water situation, yeah.
So the fact that they were like, you know what, we were, you know, we are suffering a serious injustice here, and we're not just going to sit back and not do anything. We're going to get our asses out to vote because we want change.
Yeah. And I think that was like the and we can definitely dig into this a little bit more when we have the fuller election conversation.
Yeah.
But like the thing about this election, is like, you know, every election is like, you know, there was something I didn't like about this administration, and I'm going to go out and vote. But a lot of times it's a concept or like an ideology. Whereas this time these were actual injuries done to people under this administration, tangible injuries, and people were just like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, definitely big up to excuse me, to black people, and especially black women, specifically, you know, for doing what needed to be done in this election, man. I'm really proud of us, to be quite honest.
I mean, you had mentioned, you know, Stacey Abrams offline for Georgia, oh, yeah. especially like, I mean, the amount of work she put in to register voters, to get, yeah. you know, to basically combat voter suppression. Yeah. If she don't get a cabinet seat, Joe?
She needs to, yeah, she needs all the accolades, all the flowers, all the things.
Listen.
Immediately.
Listen, yeah. she needs to be inserted, you know, into some sort of like cabinet position or whatever, ASAP Rocky.
Yeah.
So,
I definitely
yeah.
think she's still on track because she said she wants to be president about like 2040 or 2042 or something like
listen,
that.
Listen, yeah. we are here for it. We are here for
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
All right. So, you know, with every high, there is a low. And this week's low, this election low, goes to the state of Nevada and its government employees, its poll Woo, workers.
The ghetto.
I mean, the amount of memes that has come out about Nevada, I don't think Nevada ever thought they would be popularized in such a way. Oh, I don't think so.
I saw one that said that Nevada, it was like Nevada, you can stop pretending to look through your purse at brunch. We're going to pay for your broke ass. We got it. Don't worry about it.
I like the one that was Nevada is the person that shows up late with a large iced coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. Like they just and to be like you know, their main industry. There's a couple of things about Nevada. One, your main industry is like gambling. Like,
counting.
Y'all should know how to count.
Yes.
If don't nobody know how
expeditiously.
To count fast, it should be Reno and Las Vegas. Ridiculous.
Expeditiously. Y'all know how to count on the minute to the minute because people got to yeah. get their monies, cash out their coins and go.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
It was crazy.
I know they finally called it for Biden, but like they didn't have that many votes to count.
No.
Like, them black women down in Atlanta was counting them votes quick. They was like, you could see them on TV. They was you know, behind the, like, you could see them, like, in the mm-hmm. background, like, doing the reports. Them black ladies was in there counting them votes quick, like, they was playing spades.
They know how to count the money. They're the ones who be, you know, counting the money, shuffling the money. They know how to shuffle cards. Like, you could see their yes. skill set.
Yes. You know what I mean? And, you know, they just... They weren't like I remember the Nevada Board of Elections director, like he got on TV. He was like, you know, I show up at work at like 10 o'clock. It's like 10 o'clock.
Nice. Must be nice.
Brother, sir, let's get in here. We're trying to save a democracy here.
You know what I'm saying? It was like there was one day, I think it might have been Wednesday, where they were like, it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. They were like, we are not giving any updates until 9 a.m. the next day. I was like, excuse me?
Oh, man.
24 yeah, hours later? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But, yeah, Nevada will go down in history as, like, the slothiest state.
The DMV of states.
The DMV yeah. of states. Literally the DMV yeah. of states. I'm like, this is quite ridiculous. Like, how you let Pennsylvania come out? Like, I was so sure that we were going to hear from Nevada Wednesday night. And then I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah. Thursday morning, 9 a.m., all the votes would be... They were just like, listen, they don't pay us enough for this. We are about quality of life here, okay? Quality of life.
But I feel like a lot of those states outside of Pennsylvania, you know, did not want to piss off Trump by being the one to announce it and take Biden over the threshold.
I see.
Pennsylvania didn't care at all because Philly and Pennsylvania, like their whole government is Democratic, so they could care less. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. they were like, okay, let's count these votes up and let's announce it. But you know, but like Georgia, who has a Republican, you know, government, mm-hmm. and even like, you know, where it was close in Arizona and like Nevada, like those states, mm-hmm. like that, I think they may have been a little more apprehensive. They didn't want to piss off Trump. Mm-hmm. You know,
That makes sense.
Because as soon as Pennsylvania announced, then everybody's like, oh, okay. So, oh. yeah, Nevada.
Are we ready? Yeah. Roll call, please.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I see that there. But yeah, but the womp womp, the womp womp of the week, I definitely give to Nevada. And then, you know, Florida is obviously an honorable mention, but it's just the fact that we don't want to waste. I mean, Florida does this shit to us every single year.
Yeah.
This year, though, I will say, I feel, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it could just be, I don't know, maybe I'm not remembering quite well, but I feel like this year there was even more red on the map. Like, I saw less blue this election, I think, on the Florida map when they pulled everything up. Miami, we know, is blue. But, like, there was, like, Orlando, but, like, I think there was only two other counties in the entire state of Florida outside of Miami and Orlando that was blue. I think one that was close to Tallahassee. But I was just like, this is so pathetic.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
I think the thing with Florida is, and you know, unfortunately with a lot of these states, you're going to see more red on the map until you start getting into the more like populous and larger areas with your more diverse electorate.
Yeah.
Or electorate pool. You know, but the thing with Florida, which is funny, because like you said, like they were mostly red, but it seemed like it was a little less blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's because apparently Trump's support went up in the Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
You know how down in Miami-Dade, y'all mm-hmm. got, you know,
the Cubans. I'm gonna call it out. I mean, it's true. Okay. I mean, this is.
Yeah, no, you're yeah. You're saying the exact same
thing. We gotta call it out. I mean?
And it's so funny because like they lumped it in as like the Latino vote, but it was the Cuban vote,
Cubans.
And that's probably why you saw less blue in Florida, whereas the Latino vote in Arizona and New Mexico, you know, with the Mexican community. It's a completely different story.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like, no, that's what they doing over there in Florida. Us over here and the Puerto Ricans here in New York,
mm-hmm.
that's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know? So that's probably why you saw a little less blue. That's probably why he lost, because he just lost that Latino support that they were trying to build. They lost it down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we might as well slip into the meat of the show since we've already been I feel like all of this stuff like tumbles yeah. in, but yeah, I definitely wanted to highlight that the womp womp of the week was Nevada. Those of y'all, I mean, listen, I understand quality of life is important, but not when it's like one of those things where you know you have a project due. And yes, would you like to sleep? And would you like to grab a drink? And would you like to hang out? Yes, but there's a deadline.
Yeah.
When there's a deadline, there is no such thing as a quality of life.
Yeah, let's go. Let's pack it up.
Get it together. And yeah, Florida with their insanity, it's just out of control. Like, I'm just, you know, whatever. Disgusted. Will Florida ever be blue? Probably never in my lifetime, but still.
Yeah, never again.
Never again. Who knows?
We'll see.
We'll see. All right, so we're going to get into the meat of the show. And let's see here. Where can we start? Because there's just so many things that we can talk about with respect to selection, but I want to make sure that we give time to everything. So I guess first, maybe let's talk about some of the pre-election stuff that was going on leading up to, because we didn't get a chance to really talk much about what's been happening, you know, pre-election in the months, you know, leading up. So we've seen a lot of tomfoolery. I mean, I think we talked about the Kanye presidency at some point, but, you know, but then all of these random ass rapper Trump endorsements that started spilling in, you know, a lot of people were kind of up in arms about Lil Wayne. And I was, you know, I had a live just the other day and I'm like, why are we concerned about Lil Wayne, the Martian? Why are we concerned about an individual who leaves his house looking the way that he does? You know what I mean? And talks about black women the way that he does and disrespects people. It's like, why are we even concerned about this guy?
Because, you know, we just, like you were talking about with social media and narcissism, whatever, like we just revere you know, certain people, we just put people up on pedestals, you know, that they don't belong. And hopefully, you know, maybe this will be a light bulb or a shining a light on the fact that we do be hyping up. We hype up certain people or put people on a pedestal, give them a platform, you know, that just really don't deserve it. They mm-hmm. just really don't have the intellectual capacity to handle, you know, the political arena, you know, and they should, if they wanted help, they should partner with people who actually do know what they're talking about and what they're doing, to try to, you know, to try to help them, you know, to get involved. But just out here, like, making blanket endorsements, like, who cares who Lil Wayne endorses for president? You know, Lil Wayne has been rich since he's 14 years old. He's, you know, yes, he grew up poor, you know what I mean, but he's not necessarily connected, in my opinion, mm-hmm. to the community anymore. You know, he has a long record of making really, like, all lives mattering positions and statements on, mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't believe racism exists. I remember he made one statement about how he doesn't believe racism exists because white people go to his concerts.
Wow.
You know, and he made another statement about, you know, us. You know, if we wanna be a better community, we gotta stop killing each other first. Like, he just makes those types of, like,
those blanket statements.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that's been going on for a while, and it's so crazy. Somebody like Lil Wayne, who, like,
is Negro, he from the ninth? The ninth?
Yes.
The ninth ward.
From the Magnolia Project in New Orleans. And you don't think racism exists? Okay.
Yeah. That's definitely delusion right there. I'm like, somebody like Lil Wayne is not of sound judgment nor sound mind. So I'm just like, yeah. Guys, yes, it could be infuriating to see the fact that somebody who does have influential power, right, over the youth. Well, I don't even know if the youth is really messing around with Lil Wayne anymore.
They not.
But because no, I'm like, I ain't never heard.
That's our generation.
Yeah, because I'm like, I ain't never heard my son talking about Lil Wayne. But in that event, I guess maybe people still think that he has some sort of, like, influence over something. And I guess they're, like, people who have these platforms, like, instead of using them for positivity and to spread, you know, truth, you're out here perpetrating fraud. But
absolutely.
Again, yeah. You know, so there was Lil Wayne. And then there was, like, the very, very heated controversy around Ice Cube.
Right.
And
another one.
And I'm just like, but with Ice Cube, I'm like, you know what? I really ain't got much to say about that. I mean, he said what he said. I don't believe he actually ever stood up and said he endorsed Donald Trump, not in the way that, you know, Lil Wayne and them did. Little Pump. There was a couple little somethings that were out here endorsing Trump. But I'm like, you know, I think with Ice Cube, it's like he understands, I guess, the landscape to an extent. He kind of, I mean, I feel like he was, I don't know, felt like he was trying to do something positive or at least trying to invoke some sort of, you know, actual conversation. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, we were, thank you, Jesus, we're not anymore, living in a Republican-led country, right? And so if we're looking to make change, like, sometimes you do have to find ways to reach out. And see what can be done. Ask the questions, right? Even though you might not know what answers you might get back. So I really don't necessarily find that what he did was, like, sellout-ish, the way that people are making it seem.
Yeah,
but you know,
I agree, and with the sellout thing, and that's okay. Because my whole opinion on this is, you know, I think Ice Cube's intentions were good, and where he is different, in my opinion, from a Lil Wayne or a Lil Pump or these people who came out and made, like, blatant endorsements. I think, you know, and again, and not having the acumen or the wit there all to actually, you know, even maneuver themselves in the political arena. I think Ice Cube knew, you know, there's something that I want to do here. There's something I want to do to help, you know, my community. So what he did was he actually did reach out to, like, intellectuals and people who've been doing the work to help come up with his contract with Black America. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's already that's one step in the right direction. I think where Ice Cube messed up was, you know, yes, when you, no matter, if you want to get something done, like who you have to present it to the people who are in charge, the people who can actually do something about it. That I totally get. But I think where Ice Cube messed up is the fact that, you know, nothing that Donald Trump has said in the last 20 years, but certainly in the last 4 years, you know, he hasn't kept his word on anything. He's proven himself to be a liar and an opportunist and a user, you know, and as someone who only respects black people for who respect him and for opportunistic purposes. So I think that where Cube messed up is like he actually believed that Donald Trump was going to keep good on his word. They took that excellent plan that Ice Cube and some academics came up with and basically chopped it down into this pandering bullet point pamphlet called the Platinum Plan, which is disrespectful in and of itself. Because like what? Platinum and Ice, like what is it going to, what you going to call it? The block is hot plan? Like, you know, it's just, to me, it was demeaning. So I don't think he's a sellout. Because I think his intentions were right, but he should know better. Being somebody like Ice Cube, somebody who has talked about black issues, somebody that knows racism when they see it, you know, as he's always spoken out about for at least for the last 30 years, to allow yourself to be used as a political pawn by this administration was kind of disappointing for me. And then I didn't like the way he doubled down on everything after the fact. Like he's like, you know, when people are, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Criticizing or critiquing, you know, this, like his go-to is, well, I'm rich. I got, look how much money I got. Y'all can say what you want, but you know, my bank account says otherwise. And, you know, it's just like, dude, like that's not what you're talking about capitalism. We're talking about, you know, liberation. Like yeah. those are two completely different things. So I don't think he's a sellout either per se, but I think that he was used as a pawn and he should know better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that a lot of them, unfortunately, have been used as pawns and for whatever reason did not realize it at the time that they were being used. Right. And then the sucky part, though, is that as a people, as a collective, we see things and we run with it, right? Like you and I can sit here and have a deep discussion and a logical discussion as to what happened with Ice Cube, right?
Yeah.
Which is why sellout is not what comes out, because we're able to appreciate maybe where the efforts are and then also see where the deficiencies were as to what went wrong. But all I was seeing during that week that all this took place was just posts about him being a sellout, him not caring about the black community, him only caring about his tax dollars. And I think, was it SNL had a little skit?
Well, I missed.
Oh my gosh. They had, not last night. I think this might've been like last week or whatever, but, Ice Cube comment on it, like, y'all trying to make me look like I'm weak or whatever, I'm some side, you know, like, or I'm a sellout, because it was a Lil Wayne and an Ice Cube, and they were just like, you know, they all about their taxes, and you know, why do you guys like Trump taxes, and
Lil Wayne definitely, you know,
of course, yeah. He's all about his money.
And I think too with Ice Cube, again, like I wouldn't call him a sellout. You know, but I will say that, you know, even in the Platinum Plan, excuse me, in the Contract with Black America that he came with, it was a good plan. It was a good start. You know what I mean? But it still like did not mention any type of gains or specific, you know, positions for black women. You know, so it was still lacking.
Yeah,
it was still lacking, but it was not to the extent. I don't think that was to the extent of Lil Wayne, but he also needed to learn how to like deal with that in grace. But black men, I don't know what's going on with black men, like honestly lately. Like we have just been like, I'm not gonna sit here and say that we're the cause of all that is wrong with the world, but we just haven't been having a good run lately, huh? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know either, to tell you the truth. I mean, I've been watching and, you know, it's prompted a lot of these conversations, you know, around the Protect Black Women movement, right? I've been part of a couple of panels and discussions and shows and stuff like that have talked about, you know, black men needing to protect black women and how the community needs to protect black women. And I'm like, this conversation has never been so so much at the forefront until now, right? So definitely there is something going on. I don't know if it's because Mercury is in retrograde more often than not these days, but definitely something going on. But my hope is that, you know, with having these conversations and bringing things to the forefront, hopefully we'll be able to rectify and come together, because this whole fight against racism and injustices, like, this is a fight that both Black and Black men and Black women need to be fighting together. It shouldn't be, you know,
this division gotta go.
It can't be, well, my plight is, you know, will they kill us more? And listen, like, I think everybody is aware as to what we're seeing and what's going on, but the effect is felt all over, right? It's the mothers of these Black men and boys that are dying. They have, you know, a stake in it, and the sisters. Correct. And so, yeah, but I mean, I hope we get it together, and I have faith that we will, but I feel like a big reason, and not just with the whole, you know, Black men with Black women talk, but like, trying to go back to the whole election thing, like when we're talking about the division, there was so much division, in my opinion, these last couple of months within the Black community with respect to just voting. I don't know if you've noticed, but there have been so many posts, so many reels and video clips and IGTVs of regular schmegular people that decide to take their time and their somewhat platform to condemn voting and to condemn Black people for voting, talking about, you know, none of these people are going to do anything. When has voting ever done anything for the Black person? There has been a lot of that. And I, on this platform, even last week, actually, getting ready for the election, I was just like, you guys need to stop this.
Yeah.
Like, you have to stop this. Like, discouraging people, and not just discouraging, but in a sense, shaming people and I'm looking for the word, but basically, like, coming at people who are talking about voting and telling them that they're dumb for voting and that they're not aware. Like, it was just the most disgusting display to me. And I feel like that's been a very big problem. I know too many people who did not vote, and I'm pretty sure it's because of all of this anti-voting rhetoric that was being shared within the Black community.
Yeah. I mean, this election cycle, obviously the last election cycle too, but this one in particular has just been like a melee of just misinformation, mm-hmm. and, you know, and shaming, and everyone pointing fingers at one another. And, you know, I just think that I don't understand how people can say that, you know, your vote doesn't count, especially as Black people. For one, you know, if your vote didn't count so much, if your vote didn't count for anything, why are they trying so hard? Why are people trying so hard to suppress?
Exactly.
You know, your vote, you know what I mean? Like, you go back to, you know, the fact that, you know, our grandparents, if your grandparents are still alive, hell, even your parents right now, they couldn't vote probably when they were 18. They probably couldn't vote until, you know, my mother, she couldn't vote until she was like 21, you know, after the Voting Rights Act of like 65, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, these things are recent, you know what I mean? Like, if your vote didn't count, why was there, and why is there still such a large effort to suppress your vote?
Exactly.
Two, if your vote don't count, Black people too, we just saved this country. Like, the reason why Joe Biden, not even Joe Biden, but the reason why Donald Trump is out of office, mm-hmm. is because of Black voters in, like we just talked about before, it's the Black mail-in, Democratic heavy Black votes that came out of predominantly Black cities like Detroit, Philadelphia, Atlanta. You know, and even in the states that were called quicker, mm-hmm. you know, Virginia, that was the Black vote in the Hampton Roads area and Northern Virginia near the D.C. area that helps keep Virginia blue. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you look at these areas, you know, in the country, excuse me, that helped to flip, excuse me, in terms of election, it's because of your votes. And had we not got out there and voted this year, we would be in the middle of four more years of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so don't say y'all can, after this election, we cannot ever say that your vote doesn't count. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's annoying to me, you know, when people, you know, say things like that. Because, and what I talked about last week, though, was I understand to an extent where some may come from. Some, you know, people, depending on the areas that they are living in, they're not necessarily seeing. Right? They don't feel that their vote matters because they're still living in certain conditions, right? They don't feel.
If you live in the pink houses, it don't matter who the president is, you're going to be in the pink house.
Exactly. I understand. So I get that. But for me, I'm like, okay, fine. And they're tired of people just coming at them talking about get out and vote or die or whatever it is that people are saying. But I get it. But I'm like, for me, I try to give a different message. Get out and vote and get out and empower your communities. Like, you don't need just, you know, every 4 years for there to be an election for you to, like, consider, you know, the plight of your community and whatnot. If you're not happy with what's happening in your communities, get out and be a citizen and be that change, right? If you want to see cleaner streets, like, one of my really good friends, he has, you know, a setup where him and some other dudes, like, they go around cleaning up different neighborhoods in New York City. Like, they're doing things, or we're out with the kids, where we're trying to change lives, where, you know, helping the elderly, the disabled. You know, you can be out and help your community and vote. Like, the two do not need to be, like, they're not mutually exclusive. People feel like, oh, what about our communities, though? Like, who's going to take care of them? Like, we got to come together. We got to be a community. Yes, we do. And you also have to get out and vote.
Yeah, vote for your DAs, vote for your city councilmen, vote for your
board
of education, vote for your judges. Absolutely, because those are the things that are going to impact you at a local level way more than a presidential election would be, you know. And, you know, you just have to, like you said, just become civically engaged. And I totally understand also, you know, why people might feel. I can understand why there are people who may be a little bit apprehensive about it. But I'm saying, I just hope that after this election that we really can see, you know, just how much of an impact, you know, your actual votes can have, you know? Yeah.
And we have to continue to keep our finger on the pulse when it comes to the politicians as well, too, right? It's not like, okay, we put you in office, now we can go back. We gotta hold them accountable for the things
that they said. That's right. And that's the message that I've always been trying to, like, get out to people too. It's like, listen, I understand, like, you know, that, you know, neither of these candidates may have been your choice du jour. Like, I get that, completely understand that. But what we have to do is if you want to get any further, you have to get someone in office that's going to help you reach that goal. Because what we have right now, the past administration, or the soon to be passed administration, you know, there's absolutely nothing about them that says they have anyone's interests in heart or in mind, but their own. We can get closer to the goal that we want to get to with Joe Biden and with Kamala. So let's put them in office. And then on day one, I'm talking January 22nd, let's keep our foot on that neck.
Yeah.
Okay. We got you into the seat, Mr. Biden. We got you into the seat, Mrs. Harris. Let's talk about, okay, now what are you going to give us? What are you going to do for us? And I hope, because Biden did say in his speech last night, he was like, you know, he specifically thanked the black community. And he specifically said, you guys have always had my back.
Yep.
And I'm going to, and I promise that I'm going to have yours. Keep that promise then, because it is tough to get us to get out there and vote because of all the reasons that you just listed. Mm-hmm. Don't make us regret that.
Exactly. Because the black community, they're watching. Those who voted for him and those who did not vote for him, they're watching. A lot of people were very uneasy. This was another Trump and Hillary Rodham Clinton situation for a lot of people where they're like, I don't want any of them. But so people are skeptical. And so they're right now they are watching this new administration and to see what's going to happen. Now, what I will say, though, is, yes, we're watching, but we also have to understand the mess that this new administration has inherited.
The biggest mess. I just can't even imagine. Can you imagine, like, this man has the coronavirus. He's got the economy. He's got racial injustice. He's got the school Proud Boys. Shootings. Yes, he's got white supremacy. Yeah, the white supremacy terrorists. You know, the country is infiltrated right now and being occupied by white supremacist terrorism.
Yep.
It is. I think it's even worse than what Obama walked into.
It's absolutely worse. It's absolutely worse. And I mean, yes, I am going to keep my foot on Kamala and Biden's neck. But at the end of the day, too, I think that we have to be very realistic as to what type of changes can happen and at, you know, and what frequency and in what time frame certain things will, you know, we will start seeing these changes, because there is a whole mess before us right now in which it will take. You know, I had asked this question to some people on the live on Thursday. How long do you think it will take America to get even close to post or to pre-Trump? Some said 10 years, some said 20 years. Like, so basically the 4 years of the Biden-Harris is not going to be enough to repair, or it might not even make any type of real dents. Because of just the craziness that's going on right now, the division, the racial divide in this country is you can cut it with a knife.
Yeah, you have kids at the border that still don't know where their parents are. They can't reunite these kids with their parents. You know, there's just so, like, I'm just sitting here as I sit here and think, I'm like, there's just so many things that they have to get back on track. And I think you made a good point. And I hope people take heed to that. Like, we do have to give them some space to parse all this stuff. I think that's why they're not waiting until January. They're already putting together this coronavirus task force that's going to be announced on Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, I think just to, like, we can still have 75 days of this man left. Jesus. And, when it comes to the coronavirus, I think we just hit our, like, highest day of infection rates ever, I think, on Friday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this man is golfing the next day.
Yeah.
And it's like, they can't wait the 75 days, because who knows what will happen in 75 days, you know? So, that's a good point. I think we have to make that space. And I personally do believe, you know, I'm going to take the man at his word, you know, because one thing I can say about Joe Biden, he does seem like the type of person to me who, like, understands his strengths and his weaknesses. And he knows, you know, to surround himself with people who are smarter than him, which, you know, and I'm not saying he's dumb by any means, but, like, I think we all should do that. Surround yourself with people who are smart, who are smarter than you, that so that you can learn from them. And I certainly think that he knows how to do that. And especially with the amount of Black people and Black women, again, that he has around him, you know, and supporting and advising him. I don't think that, you know, these are not people who are Black, you know, for the opportunity. These are people who, you know, are you know, blue-blooded Black. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that they will allow, you know, this administration to go back on its word and its covenant with our community. So I'm optimistic, cautiously always, because it's still America, but I'm cautiously optimistic about it.
Now, one thing that I am hoping, though, does make it into the real agenda within the first 4 years is the student loan forgiveness situation.
Yeah, we need these loans cut down. Like, my loans are embarrassing. Like, it's just. Yeah, listen. Whatever. I don't know what they're going to do exactly, but they got to do something.
They got to do something. I mean, if you can't forgive my, you know, all of my loans, I understand. Fine. I don't like it, but fine. But if there can be some sort of a slashing, a reduction, even whatever something. You got, give me something. But so I can talk about the student loan thing forever, because I owe a lot of money in student loans. We owe collectively. and it's definitely been a burden on my heart, because I'm like, man, can I get married with this kind of debt? I don't even know.
I hear you. Can you buy a house? Can you have kids?
You know,
a lot of people, like you were saying, like, you know, this would really ignite the economy if people had some disposable income, you know, to be able to do something with. So, I agree. They got to do something about that expeditiously, as T.I. would say.
So, a lot of people are concerned with what's going to happen next, right? I mean, you and I are both talking, you know, very hopefully in that, listen, January 22nd, Biden's going to be in there with Kamala, and we're going to hopefully see some sort of a shift, even if it might not be like a big change, obviously, for everything that we've said before, but that at least there'll be a shift, right? Mm-hmm. People will be more at ease. I feel like people have been walking on eggshells for the last several years. And yeah, I think that people will be able to take a breath at least, right? But many people, both, you know, individuals who understand the political process and those who do not, are wondering if this is real, like if this Biden and Harris win is real, because Trump has already deployed his lawyers. We've already seen lawsuits. Thankfully, you know, they've been shut down so far, the ones that have been launched. We've already, you know, heard that there's going to be recounts and all this stuff. And I remember vividly the Bush-Gore, you know, recount fiasco, right? Mm-hmm. And this is going to be, in my opinion, 10 times worse, because we're dealing with a child, we're not dealing with an adult. And so, I mean, people are wondering, like, is it possible that Trump can still remain in the White House? Like, what if he doesn't concede? Like, what is it possible that January 22nd can come and we're still fighting cases in the Supreme Court and Biden and Harris, you know, won't get sworn in? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think that any of these cases that the administration has been attempting to pursue have any teeth whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And as we can see, like, I know, you know, the initial lawsuit that they filed in Georgia was dismissed. Mm-hmm. The one in Pennsylvania, Michigan was dismissed. And I believe the one in Pennsylvania was also dismissed. You know, and I think that what people are doing, I think that people can see, especially this administration and even the media, to be quite honest with you, can see that this is all kind of like smoke and mirrors, distraction, and is an attempt to kind of like buy him some time. Because let's face it, what the president is trying to avoid is
jail,
being prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Once he doesn't have that protection of being a sitting president anymore. So in my opinion, and you know, and this is something that like a lot of people worry about too, you know, with the Supreme Court being so, you know, heavily conservative, mm-hmm. Controllingly conservative, you know, they're concerned about it getting to the Supreme Court. And my thing is, like, if you look, the issue would be the ballots that the administration claims are invalid or illegal, or he claims that were cast after or even received in their argument after mm-hmm. Election Day. But the thing is that, you know, even if you don't count those votes, and most of those votes, especially in Pennsylvania, were already cast aside and weren't even included in this count that we're seeing now, you know, that Joe Biden, you know, already beat Donald Trump without those ballots that they could, you know, try to, you know, disqualify, or, you know, attempt to disqualify. So he beat him so handily. It's like, what, you know, and like there's really no teeth there. So I think that if anything, the Supreme Court's position would be, or could be, you know, to discount those ballots that came in after Election Day. And that's okay. That's fine. You know what I mean? You can discount them because he already won with the ballots. Without yep. the ballot.
Yeah.
So I just don't think it has any teeth. And if the Supreme Court does somehow finagle or jerry rig some sort of, you know, disgusting precedent that would, you know, disenfranchise millions of people mm-hmm. and specifically Black people, you know, because let's be honest, those mail-in votes and those late ballots, I won't call them late, excuse me, the mail-in votes are coming heavily from Democratic and heavily from Black districts. So most of the votes that would be suppressed would be those of Black mm-hmm. people and people of color. If that's the tone that y'all, is that the tone that y'all really want to start? Is that the precedent that y'all really want to set?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would just hope and assume, just based on law and logic, you know what I mean? And off of Kavanaugh's own words and that decision that in the concurring opinion that he wrote on the recent Pennsylvania case, mm-hmm. like we're talking about ballots that were not postmarked or received by election day. And if that, if you're going to go by your words and by that, by the letter of the law, then even if you do disqualify these ballots that Trump is trying to contest, Joe Biden still won.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's so, what's important. That's what matters.
Yeah. So hopefully it helps people, you know, sleep a little better.
Yeah. Cause people are concerned. People are concerned and rightfully so, because we haven't really seen a circus quite like this one before.
Correct.
We've been through the recount situation, yes, years ago, but many people don't even really understand what was going on fundamentally at that point. Right. I mean, I think I was either maybe in high school, maybe when that took place. I can't remember, but I remember it vividly.
Yeah, it was 2000. So yeah, we were.
Yeah, I was in high school.
I'm not going to age myself. You can date yourself.
I mean, listen, like fine one. I got no problem. I'll be out here like freaking Angela Bassett throwing my age around. But yeah, so I vividly remember what was going on during that time. And this right here, like this is definitely going to go into the Guinness Book of Records, whatever crazy ass books, you know, to record, you know, tomfoolery. But all right, good. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of touch on that because I know a lot of people were concerned, rightfully so, because they don't understand the process already. They don't understand, you know, politics on a basic level. So now you throw this in and they're just like, what does this mean? What's going to happen? So, So I guess before ending, I did want to real quick, talk about the Van Jones performance that took place yesterday.
Oh, Vanny.
You know, I think that, you know, I've been watching him a lot. CNN has really been, you know, the channel of choice for both me and my son you know, couple of weeks really. But, you know, there are points where he stands his ground, obviously. And you know, he's a very articulate, he's very knowledgeable. He's very smart. Very smart. And, you know, he's very clear. I think he makes a lot of great points when you really listen to him, but he also has a tendencies of flip flopping. Like he's like a flip flopper in my opinion. Like you see him with the Republicans, you see him with the, you know, Trump's children. You've seen him in like these different settings that kind of call into question his actual politics, right? Like what do you truly believe at the core? Is the position you're playing now simply for the check? Like what do you really believe? And a lot of people question him. But yesterday, as we got the verdict, we got the, you know, the charge that Biden Harris, you know, will be the president and vice president of the United States. This man, like, and I understand for many it's very emotional, right? But I just felt like his display of emotion was just a little bit over the top for what we know him to be.
Yeah. It was I know that after they finally called the election for Biden, you know, he got super emotional. He was, you know, crying on camera about like, you know, talking about how, you know, character matters and how decency is alive and he can have these conversations with his children in the world. You know, he can prove to his kids that, you know, having character matters. And everything that he was saying was true, was accurate, was an accurate feeling. I felt the way that he felt on everything that he was saying, and it was an emotional day. But sometimes I just feel like, okay, but Van, you, like you just said, like you were with the Trumps all, you know, like all the time, like you worked with the administration in silence undercover too, on top of that. Mm-hmm. And yes, the work that he did with the administration for criminal justice and everything, it was fruitful work. Like, you know what I mean? They definitely got the work done. But like, again, as soon as that was done, Trump is like, touting you around as like one of his supporters too, and like they're using it as if it was like a tacit endorsement, kind of like back with Ice Cube, like y'all, like you know these people are gonna use you as pawns, you know, mm-hmm. like I guess the work is greater, or maybe he has a martyr complex. He's like, well, I'll be the martyr as long as the work gets done.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, but like you know, I was just like, pull it together, man. Just pull it together. Because, you know, like, you were ogling over Kim Kardashian when she was on your show. Like, you know, where do you stand, Van? We don't really know. And, like, you just don't come off as, you're intelligent, but you don't come off as authentic. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the authenticity for me.
Yeah, definitely for me.
Yeah, that's the part that really, I guess, gets me. So I think when I saw that and, you know, the snot and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be insensitive because I understand what this means to a lot of people. But for the people that this means a lot more to than Vans, they were not displaying this level of sadness. And it just did not come off. I was just like, what is happening here? It did not come off as being very genuine. And
it was like he was looking for the moment. Like he was exactly. he wanted the viral moment.
He wanted the viral moment. And he got it though, but not for what he thought.
I thought I was like, maybe I'm being a jerk because I saw it and I was like, all right, man, I get it, brother. But let's pull it together. Okay. Because you've been flip flopping. Remember when he called when he also cried when Trump gave some speech and he was like, "This is the first time that I've heard him sound presidential."
Yes,
it was like Van.
He cried for that as well too. Yes, that's why I'm like, what is happening here? Like, are you trying out for a new role and you're wanting to use this as a platform? Like, I don't know.
Yes,
what doing is happening the most. Here? Team doing the most.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh man. So I want to just end this conversation by asking you, Paul. I mean, I know we've talked about a lot of different things with respect to this election, and we probably have tapped into some of the things that we hope to see come out of this. But, you know, more directly, you know, what do you hope to see come out of this presidency? I mean, I don't know if there's going to be, you know, if he's going to get 8 years. We don't know. But out of this 4-year presidency, the Biden-Harris presidency, what do you hope to get out of it? What do you hope to see?
Huh. Well, I think that it is important that we do not forget these last 4 years. You know, I know that America has a tendency of revising history, mm-hmm. you know, for positivity and optimism. But unfortunately, the issue is that, you know, if you don't remember your past, you know, you're doomed to repeat it. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what we've seen. We've seen like this cycle of, you know, racism, you know, control American politics, and it goes in cycles, you know. So I just hope that we can take a cue and a lesson from, you know, the German community, you know, in that they've been able to move past, you know, what happened, you know, to the Jewish community there by not moving past it. They keep it at the forefront of everyone's minds while giving the Jewish community reparations, while mm-hmm. doing what they need to do to properly honor and respect that community for the sacrifices. I wouldn't even call it a sacrifice, but for the tragedy and the trauma that occurred to that community, mm-hmm. And making sure that they get their just due in society, and that no one ever forgets, you know, what happened. So I truly hope that one thing that this administration does is that they take a look at precisely what has the traumas and the injuries that have happened to, you know, the Black community under this administration, mm-hmm. The elderly community, and the Black community, again, when it comes to the over 200,000 people that have died because of coronavirus. I hope they don't forget the young people who came out and voted after so many of them were murdered during school shootings and mass shootings in the country. Because I'll tell you what, if we try to like just erase these last 4 years and try to like quote unquote look ahead without holding on to what happened in the past in 4 years, let's be honest. Trumpism is alive and well. Trump might not be in office, but his type of politics and that mm-hmm. style judging by that map, like you were saying, it is alive and well.
Yep.
And if we try to erase that, what's going to happen in 2024 is that we're just going to have the same Trumpism policies with the shinier, better, more polished, more qualified conduit.
Yeah.
You know, a nice shiny Ivanka, mm-hmm. you know, a Trump light, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And we will be back in the same position again because Trumpism is going nowhere. So this administration really has to find a way to take the power out of white supremacy. I from the nucleus and the way that this country is ran and all at so many of our institutions, and really put the power back into the people who were directly impacted by this administration's lack of competency. So that's my one hope. Do not forget the people who were actually hurt and the people who actually helped you, and do not let these people forget what really happened and what we saw these last 4 years, or else we're just going to be doomed to repeat it in the next 4 years.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I mean, you know, for me, I hope that they stay true to their promises, right? Again, understanding that everything is not going to be fulfilled overnight. And it, you know, some of this stuff might transcend their presidency, maybe, right? But I think just holding on to some of the promises that they have made, and that they don't flip flop on it, because sometimes that happens, you know, right, when we're trying to balance agendas and whatnot. But the things that are at the core that are essential for this democracy, for the United States to really be able to move forward, I hope that they, you know, they keep those agendas to the forefront. I think more so my hope for the people, particularly the Black people living in this country, is that they do not forget that we are living in a racist community, and that there are mm-hmm. 70 million people who voted for, you know, the circus, right? Who voted for Trump, who, whether, you know, people might agree, not agree, whatever, but that voted for this racist society.
Yeah.
And that, you know, especially in these times right now where, you know, tensions are high, particularly those living in the rural-ish areas, or, you know, some of these southern districts and areas where we've seen the great amount of voter suppression, and we've seen a lot of, you know, violence and whatnot, you know, with respect to Black people and voting and things like that. I think that for me, my heart goes out to individuals living in these areas. Like, I'm just thinking about within the last year, different people who have been the attack, you know, who have been the victims of white supremacist acts, right? Like that young girl, I think it was in Wisconsin, that was just driving her car and these white people just rolled up and threw, I think it was like hot water or whatever it was, that scalded her skin, and she was in the hospital with third degree burnt.
Yeah.
You know, so these things have happened. They will continue to happen, and they might happen at a greater, at an even greater frequency because of this historic win. So I just want people to not, yes, this is a great win for democracy, right? Whatever that might mean to you. But we still have to be vigilant out here. We still have to remember that we are operating in a overt white supremacist society and a covert white supremacist society. They might not be burning crosses, but there are so many other ways that we are victims of white supremacy each and every day. And we cannot forget that a large portion of this country still does not want us here and does not want good for us. So,
absolutely. I totally agree with that. And keep in mind too, you know, they say it takes 250 years for a civilization to fail. And I think America is at like 244, 245, you know. So these next 4 to 5 years are going to be really, really, really telling as far as where we're going to go as a country. Mm-hmm. So I think both of the things that we both just said, you got like, this administration is really going to spear and shape where we're going to go. Are we going to go back where we were and crumble, or are we going to keep building on this momentum here and make some real lasting impact so that you know to keep this to make this civilization and democracy better than what it is. So hopefully we're on the right track.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like we are.
I mean, I hope so too. I mean, I was saying to my friend the other day that something good got to come out of 2020. And yeah. I feel like for all, I mean, this doesn't necessarily make up for any of the losses by any means necessary, but I feel like it is a glimmer of hope. What that's going to look like, I still can't tell you because, again, you know, these were not necessarily my candidates of choice, but I understood what yeah. was at stake if I did not, you know, exercise my right to vote. But absolutely. At least it's a step in a direction that is not going to be, you know, anywhere near. I feel like I can confidently say like the Trump administration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for coming back. And talk.
Anytime.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's been difficult. You know, the fall season is always the hardest, especially when you have kids and just trying to balance and find time. Yeah. You know, it's, and when we get together and we talk, we talk. So.
Yeah. No, this was great. This was definitely great.
Yeah. Well, all right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. Thanks again to our reoccurring co-host, PB for coming on and just, you know, sharing his knowledge and just giving his perspective, as always. And hopefully we will have our regularly scheduled PB and RP special next month. So make sure you guys...
I'm back on track now.
Yes, we're back on track. So if you guys enjoyed today, just make sure that you keep it locked. You keep us locked. And with that being said, we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
Can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.